In just 6 days, Louisiana voters head to the polls in a race that could ultimately decide control of the United States Senate. Tonight, the major candidates face off in the race for the U.S. Senate, the final debate. Now, live from LSU's Manship School of Mass Communication, here's tonight's moderator, John Snell of WVUE-TV.
Good evening. Welcome to our debate tonight, sponsored by Raycom Media, LSU, and WRKF Radio. And welcome to the candidates. They are Senator Mary Landrieu, Congressman Bill Cassidy, and Colonel Rob Maness. Our format is simple tonight. Each candidate has 1 minute to respond to questions with a follow-up and some discretion at the moderator's discretion. The order of the questioning was predetermined by a random drawing, and in the interest of time, we'll introduce our panel of questioners as we go along, beginning tonight with Greg Merriweather of WAFB-TV.
Good evening, guys.
Americans are worried about the threat from ISIS. At what point, if any, would you support American troops on the ground in the Middle East to combat that threat? Senator Landrieu, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Greg, for that question. John, thank you for moderating, and thank LSU for sponsoring the Manship School. Colonel Maness, thank you for showing up again. And Congressman Cassidy, it's good to see you facing the voters finally for this hour. And we look forward to talking about your record.
I believe that ISIS is a very serious threat, and I believe that we have to do everything we can to eliminate that threat. We have airstrikes now trying to work with our partners to take out that threat. I would be open to other measures if necessary to do that and to make sure that we are as firm as we can be and that we make no mistake that this threat is real.
Would those other measures include American ground troops?
I have said before that I want to keep that option open. Now, you know, we haven't called for ground troops yet, and we've got to be careful because we've already put a lot of ground troops on the ground in Iraq and Afghanistan. But I would be open, and I think it's a mistake to take these options off of the table, honestly. Our enemies, and they are, need to believe that we are serious, and we'll use whatever measures it takes to eliminate them.
All right, Congressman Cassidy.
If the president is our commander-in-chief, he has totally failed in his attempts to keep us safe and secure. That's true whether it is the border, whether it is Ebola, or certainly whether it is ISIS. He ignored the advice of his generals to keep troops in Iraq. He was told a year and a half ago that ISIS was on the rise. Then when they began to make advances, he called them the JV team. And then when they got a depot, weapons depot, instead of blowing up that depot immediately, he allowed ISIS to disperse those weapons across Iraq and Syria. Now, I will say, if the commander-in-chief is supposed to keep us safe and secure, he has failed. He has not presented a strategy. He has not presented a plan. He's merely presented first steps. I will reserve judgment as to whether or not I will commit our young men and women until I see a strategy. I don't trust this president. I think he's a terrible commander-in-chief. I am not about to commit our young men and women when he may do something merely to save face. When he presents a strategy that is credible, I will consider all options. Until then, I reserve judgment.
Colonel Maness.
Senator, Congressman, both of you should be in Washington right now, but you're both here. Both of you are ducking responsibility for a new incremental and potentially endless war against ISIS. Our president can't be trusted with national security, and it appears that neither can you. This president has failed in every job in national security that he's attempted, and Senator Landrieu has been a rubber stamp for every one of his feckless policies. He needs to come to Congress with a strategy, the objectives, the definition of success, and an exit plan, and Congress has a responsibility, a valued and valid responsibility to debate whether we should be at all-out war and how we're going to pay for it instead of putting this war on a credit card. The young men and women that wear our uniform and their parents and families deserve that our Congress should be in session now instead of giving this president a blank check to fight an undeclared war.
Colonel, the question, would you support American ground troops on the ground at any point?
Once the president brings a strategy and a set of objectives in and a definition of success and an exit plan and Congress debates it, and decides whether we can pay for it or not and how we're going to pay for it, and then as a senator, I would be able to entertain that option, but we would have to be looking at ground forces that are not purely made up of just American forces.
The Joint Chiefs have suggested that they may, with some pushback from the White House, that they may reserve that as an option. If the Joint Chiefs came out and said this is necessary, would that move any
First of all, it's kind of interesting for these two to claim they're great supporters of the military, but when the military says they need all options on the table to win wars, and these two back up, I think, and I've always been a strong supporter of the military, John, and I believe we need to listen to our generals. ISIS is a real threat. It is frightening to the people of our state and our country. So I support attacks, I support our allies, and I'm not going to take any options off the table to get rid of
that threat. Congressman, are you moved by the Joint Chiefs?
Yeah, I'll listen to the generals, but the generals answer to the Commander-in-Chief. And the Commander-in-Chief has been feckless, totally incompetent when it comes to protecting us and keeping us safe and secure, which begs the question of why Senator Landrieu supports him 97% of the time.
Okay, let's
If we're
let's
really
move
concerned
on.
About safety and we'll, security,
I'll,
let's get a strategy.
I promise you to make that talking point, but
I need to respond to that, John. Nobody is arguing that ISIS is not a threat.
Right.
It is a threat. Absolutely it's a threat. And nobody is not listening to the Joint Chiefs except for one person and his party, and that's President Obama and the Democrat Party. And they are with him, like this senator is, 97% of the time, and he's got to get his act together and start listening to the Joint Chiefs, and then maybe we can get the job done without extra loss of life.
Thank you, Colonel. Let's move on to the next round. This next round of questions is slightly different in that it's a question specifically for one candidate. Let's go to Cynthia Arsenault from KPLC.
Senator Landrieu, you admitted you misused $33,000 in taxpayer money for air travel for charter flights, and you paid it back. But walk us through why you need charter flights in the first place for Senate business.
Well, thank you, Cynthia, for that question. And first of all, I take full responsibility for the error. It was a bookkeeping error. We did a thorough and independent review and found the $33,000, and it's been fully repaid. I've used charter flights to be able to move around the state more quickly and more efficiently. Others travel differently. Sometimes I travel by car, sometimes I travel by plane. It's within the budget, it is within the rules, and I take full responsibility for the error and have paid it back.
Are you moved at all by, you know, $17 trillion in debt? And we don't, the president says we're broke, for example.
Well, actually, John, the budget that I've received every year in the 18 years I've been proud to serve the people of this state, I've returned money to the Treasury. So every senator has discretion as to how they use money in their own budget, but I've returned money every year and have lived within the budget allotted.
All right. Doug Warner of KSLA has a question now for Congressman Cassidy.
Congressman, we begin first. Thank you for being here tonight. And with that said, can you explain to us why you have declined several debates? How would you respond to critics who say your strategy was to limit your exposure and perhaps coast into a runoff?
Yeah. I'm debating tonight. This is the second debate. How many times do we have to ask Senator Landrieu why she supports the president 97% of the time? Why would she vote for Obamacare again tomorrow when the vast majority of people in Louisiana have been punished by Obamacare? Why does she support a president who is hostile to our oil and gas jobs, waving through his appointees for the EPA that strangle those jobs? Now, by the way, there was a recent debate. On the day these folks were preparing, I went and spoke to the Faraday Rotary Club, toured the VA hospital, met with pastors, met with veterans, went to a manufacturing site, met with other folks that evening, and then drove to Ruston and was at a meet and greet for people in Ruston the next morning. That would not have happened if, for the one more time, we were discussing Senator Landrieu's support for the president, her vote for Obamacare one more time, and my gosh, why does she support the fellow?
Would you address the part of the question, Congressman, that you know, there are people who believe your strategy has been to kind of coast toward a runoff?
People always are going to ascribe motives to you that suit their own purpose. My motive is to meet as many voters as possible, and frankly, reporters are the folks I meet most often. When I go to the Faraday Rotary Club, I think I'm the only candidate who has been there. So you actually meet people in different settings. We have limited time, and these two debates have been great, and I think they'll give us adequate time to discuss the issues.
All right. We have another politician here tonight, sort of. Clay Tufts is the LSU student body president. Maybe we'll see him up there someday, but he has a question for Colonel Maness.
Colonel Maness, you say you will only serve two terms, which many voters support in principle. But since there's no such limit across the country, Louisiana would never gain the influence that comes with seniority. Why would this be in our interest?
Well, first of all, Clay, thanks for the question, and thanks to LSU and John for hosting this event. First of all, we don't need senators with the seniority and clout that enables you to have a staff that spends $33,000 in tax dollars to fly yourself to campaign events breaking the law. So that's not the kind of clout we need. But you know what? Our first president was a military leader, and if two terms were good enough for General Washington, they're certainly good enough for a retired colonel. Our government is designed to be run by citizen legislators, not this political class that we, the citizens, have allowed to be created over the last several decades, and we need to eliminate it, and that's why I am the one conservative in this race, and that's why I'm running.
And since I followed up with everybody else, the part of the question that deals with, that may be a wonderful idea that would work for the country, but if the other 49 states don't do it, are we at a disadvantage?
Well, no, we're not at a disadvantage because I also support and advocate for putting term limits in law, and that's one of the issues that I'm going to fight for in the Senate.
All right, Amy Jeffries of WRKF Radio has another round of questions. This is for all of the candidates, beginning this time with Congressman Cassidy.
Yeah, the Social Security trustees say that the trust fund will be so depleted in about 20 years that it will only be able to pay out about 75% of benefits. Should Congress aim to restore that to 100%, or should people my age, I'm 35, should we start planning for lower benefits?
Yeah, great question, Amy. My commitment to the people of Louisiana is that if you're on Social Security or soon to be, nothing changes. Your age of eligibility and your benefits remain the same. The problem is Medicare and Social Security trust funds are going bankrupt. For Medicare, it was made worse when Senator Landrieu passed Obamacare that took $700 billion out of the Medicare trust fund to spend on Obamacare. Now, indeed, the Social Security Disability Trust Fund is going bankrupt in 2 years. This is personal. My mom's 91, lives with us. I have had patients. The only thing they have is social and Medicare. What does bankruptcy mean? It means an 85-year-old will see her benefits decreased by 25%. Now, we can fix this. If you take someone who's 30, she would become eligible for benefits 1 month later than she ordinarily would. If 29, 2 months. If 28, 3 months. By doing that, we can fulfill the promise that if you're currently on Social Security, nothing changes, not your age of eligibility or your benefits.
Your time has
expired. The cost of doing nothing is that your security is destroyed.
Congressman, let me hit you with this question before we move on. Republicans make what may be the very valid argument that when it comes to increases in the budget, the quote cuts that Democrats often complain about is really a cut in the growth of spending. As I appreciate it, the $750 million that is often cited is really money that was taken out of the growth in what Medicare would have had otherwise.
You're
it wasn't
correct.
A real cut. Is it inconsistent for you to suggest that they've cut $750 million, which would imply to the casual observer that they went and grabbed $750 million?
Anyone who's paying more for their Medicare Advantage premium, anyone who's out of pocket is greater for their own Medicare beneficiary, for their own benefits, is finding that those cuts are real. It wasn't just a change in the growth of spending. It was actually taking money from the trust fund that we knew would be spent, and instead it is decided to spend it upon Obamacare. I can tell you that's not the way to save Medicare.
Colonel Maness. Your thoughts on Social Security. How do we fix it?
The important thing to remember is that the issue with the Social Security Trust Fund dollars that are available gives us some time, about 15 years before anybody needs to look at a change in benefits. So we have some time to work and sit down and come to the table and find solutions that will work. We've got to stop politicizing this issue and scaring people half to death. And that's what these two parties, that these two folks over here represent, is that hyperpartisan extremism that doesn't get Americans to the table to find solutions. And we have the time to get that done. So we need to find solutions, and everything needs to be on the table that's a valid proposal.
Alan Simpson, notably from Simpson Bowles, frequently has pointed out, though, that the longer we wait, the worse the pain.
Yes.
So could you walk us through some sense, because I frankly have heard you address this several times and I'm not really sure where you stand. Are you open to cuts in benefits? Are you open to higher taxes for somebody down the road, lifting the income limit at which they stop taking Social Security out? Any thoughts?
I'm open to any valid ideas to be put on the table for us to come to discuss together to find solutions for the issue. The sooner the better, obviously, because we shouldn't wait that long. However, we do have plenty of time to do that.
But how about anything specifically that you might suggest?
We have to consider any specifics in the larger context of a broader process and a plan. And to get down to a specific, say, health savings accounts, and consider that in isolation is the wrong thing to do. Yes, that could be part of fixing this issue, but it needs to be part of a larger, broader issue. And I'm going to work from a constitutional perspective. Those are the principles that I know, based on this document right here, the Constitution of the United States, and those are the principles that I'll start with.
All right. John? The rules say you're not supposed to bring props, but I don't know if anybody objects to the Constitution. Senator Lyman.
John, I've been at 5 debates now with Colonel Maness, and I really respect his work and service in the Air Force, but he has no plan for Social Security, as you just heard. And the greatest difference between my opponent, Bill Cassidy, and myself is on this issue. My opponent has voted 4 times to raise the Social Security age to 70, and then he doubled down and said he doesn't think it's going to hurt anybody in Louisiana. I want to remind you, Congressman Cassidy, that the life expectancy of a person, an African American in Madison Parish, is 70 years old. So you expect them to work their whole life, pay into Social Security and earn benefit and get nothing back. That is not a solution. I will never vote to raise the age. Now, there are solutions, John, and I know you're going to ask me, so let me offer one. You know, people don't pay into Social Security after $116,000 on their salary. Now, I'm not suggesting we raise that, but I do believe that people that earn over $1 million a year could pay a little bit more into Social Security. So I will not raise the age.
I'll tell you what, your regular time has expired, but let me follow up and I'll give you an opportunity to make your point too. Your argument has been that Congressman Cassidy,
correct,
if we follow his path, and the
disastrous
numbers are all over the place,
disastrous,
gets everybody 60% of their benefits unless they retire at age 70. Explain to me, though, because right now the trustees say that in 19 years, everybody gets 75.
Right.
So everybody gets 75% of their benefit regardless. One day, an 88-year-old woman suddenly gets 75 cents on the dollar out of nowhere. How is the path you have us on that much different than the path he has us on?
It's a very different path, and I want to make sure that this is clear, because this is a big difference in our policies and what he's voted for. I will not vote to raise the Social Security age to 70. I will vote to add money to the fund. I will not vote to cut Social Security to 70, and I will not vote for coupons for Medicare.
Right. Do I get
because
a rebuttal?
He wants to change Medicare as we know it, and I don't think that's right.
We may get to Medicare a little bit later. A real quick rebuttal.
Yeah, 62, you can still retire at 62. So someone in Madison Parish could still retire at 62. That doesn't change. And the real difference between us is that her path doesn't work. If you speak to the actuaries, it doesn't work. Your benefits will be cut by 25% because Senator Landrieu will not make the call.
All right, in fairness, let me get a final word from Colonel Maness.
Thank you very much. Senator, there you go again. You're becoming like the president more every day. You just keep saying things that are just not true. We do have a plan, but we want to talk from principle in this discussion so that the people of Louisiana and America can understand our principles. I'm not going to talk from a legislative perspective here, but let me just say neither one of these plans work. One raises
the retirement age to 70, and one doesn't work with the actuarial. I'm not sure what your plan is. What's your plan?
The plan needs to be that we come to the table and find solutions that will work, so because neither one of these plans work, because the people sitting in this audience that have paid into Social Security deserve to get the benefits that they have paid for, and neither one of those plans will work.
Thank you. We spent a little time on that, so let's go back to our next question from Greg Merriweather, and it will be answered first by Colonel Maness.
There are millions of illegal immigrants already in our country. Outside of the debate on border fence or border security, what do we do with the folks that are already here?
Greg, thanks for the question. I'm going to say it again. Secure the border, secure the border, secure the border. No amnesty, no pathway to citizenship. Both of the folks to my left here, one agrees with amnesty, and both of them agree that there should be a pathway to citizenship if you pay a fine and then get at the back of the line. My answer to that is not a pathway to citizenship, but to go home. They need to be repatriated. That repatriation dollars is in the federal budget for the president's executive agency to be able to do that, and we need to take care of and respect the American citizens and the legal immigrants that are here going through the process now before we do anything else, like give welfare housing to illegal aliens.
Send them home? The millions
already
here,
send them
home?
My answer was that we need to repatriate them.
Okay. All right, Senator Landrieu.
I support a strong border and have for many years as chair of the Homeland Security Committee. I've increased the number of border agents from 15,000 to 20,000 and joined John McCain, friend of my opponent here, in passing a comprehensive immigration bill to double it from 20,000 to 40,000. I also support a fence 700 miles long that can tell the difference between whether a deer crosses or a person, so we can allocate our resources effectively. So these attacks that I'm not for a secure border are absolutely false. Now, for the people that are here, yes, I support a comprehensive bill supported by the Catholic Church, the Chamber of Commerce, and the AFL-CIO, voted on by 67 members of the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, to find a path forward. This is important for our economy, and it is important to find a path forward after fines, after English, and getting in the back of the line behind legal applicants.
All right, Congressman Cassidy.
Again, if the president's responsibility is to keep us safe and secure, he's clearly failed at the border. We must secure the border. There should not be amnesty. If you come here illegally, there should not be a pathway to citizenship, and that is something that Senator Landrieu supports. Now, by the way, it's good things about video. So when Senator Landrieu says that she's all for the fence, we have a video clip of her calling the fence saying she will never again vote for a dumb fence. So there is kind of a blessing in having things videoed now. In terms of what we do with the folks that are here, it really depends on how long it takes to secure the border. If it takes 30 years to secure the border, you're going to have to dig some people up in order to move them out of the country. On the other hand, if we can secure the border within 3 months, that's a totally different situation. It depends on how long it takes to secure the border. As long as Barack Obama is president, we will not secure the border. As long as Senator Landrieu and Harry Reid control the Senate, we will not secure the border. We will have this discussion about what to do about those who are here once we secure the border.
All right, in the interest
John,
of time,
I've
make
got
it
a,
very
I've
quick
got
if you would,
response
please.
To that. Senator, you've tried and failed. Nobody's arguing that you didn't support border security measures, but the evidence is clear. Two deputies out on the West Coast were killed in the last few days by an illegal alien that had been deported twice, and the law is not being enforced. Our border is not secure, and they are dead. We need to respect the American citizens and the legal immigrants that are here going through the process and those that are visiting here illegally. We must secure the border. We must secure the border.
All right, Senator Landrieu, your response.
Yes, let me say, I am for building a smart fence that can tell the difference between a deer and a person, and so do taxpayers, because they don't want to waste their money on things that don't work. I've been to the border. I'm not sure these two gentlemen have. I've seen the tunnels. I've seen people crawl over them. So we need to have a smart technology using everything. I would put my record up against securing this border against both of theirs
all right,
any day.
Let me get a final word on from Congressman Cassidy, but real quickly, have you been to the border, Mr. Maness?
I have not.
Have you been to the border?
I have commanded a United States Air Force base of 53,000 acres
right.
within a southwestern state just north of the border, and our primary concern was border security and illegal
aliens. In the interest of fairness, last word from Congressman Cassidy, if you want.
No, that's good. Let's move.
Okay. That works for the timers, I know. Thank you very much. Let's go to Cynthia Arsenault from KPLC for the next question.
All right, Senator Landrieu, how do you feel about Governor Bobby Jindal's refusal to accept federal Medicaid dollars when so many of the working poor here in Louisiana could have benefited from it?
Thank you for that question. And again, both of my opponents agree with Governor Jindal that we should not expand Medicaid. I think it is tragic, because 252,000 people that wake up and go to work every day could be benefiting from health insurance. You know, our governor talks a lot about a workforce. It's hard to have a strong workforce if it's not healthy. So I really believe in people that work getting access. This would have cost the state nothing in the first 3 years. It would have brought $16 billion. I just cut the ribbon on Sempra that's bringing 5,000 jobs. This is three times the amount of jobs that would be brought here. That is the equivalent. So I oppose governor's actions. I've sent letters and showed up asking him, pleading with him to say yes to 252,000 people in our state. And that's part of why I am proud to run again and help people get insurance that keeps them healthy and keeps them working.
Congressman Cassidy.
Yeah, I'm a doctor who's been working in Louisiana's charity hospital system for 25 years, treating the uninsured and those on Medicaid. You might ask, if Medicaid is so good, why did they go to a charity hospital? That's because Medicaid pays so far beneath the doctor's cost, she cannot afford to see a large number of Medicaid patients. So really, Medicaid is the illusion of coverage without the power of access. And as for this myth that it wouldn't cost taxpayers anything, the Urban Institute, which is all for Medicaid expansion, has estimated that the Medicaid expansion would cost Louisiana taxpayers $600 million. We will post that on BillCassidy.com so that there is no doubt about that. And along the way, we find that since in those states which have done Medicaid expansion, there's been increased visits to the emergency rooms, people dropping their private insurance to go on the public dollar, if you will. And that said, outcomes are no better than among the uninsured.
Colonel
Manis. It is a broken system. We should not expand it. There's better ways to get health insurance to those who do not have.
Right. Excuse me, Colonel Manis.
Governor Jindal is right. We shouldn't accept the Medicaid expansion because Louisiana taxpayers, after just a few years, get left holding the bag, and those states that have already accepted it are finding those costs to be quite high already. The other thing is we need to be outcome-based. If we want to help those that need it, we've got to have outcomes that are better than what current Medicaid systems provide. And that's the issue that we need to address, not expanding Medicaid.
Let me follow up this way. The Commonwealth Fund estimates it's $1.65 billion in the year 2022. It does cost, though, Senator, $230 million. So everybody here, walk me through, why do you think that is or isn't a good deal? Because there are those who argue, gentlemen, take the money while it's available, as some Republican governors have.
Let me say one of the big differences here. This is really stark to me. Bill Cassidy is a doctor that has been paid a salary from Medicaid. And so he has earned a living from Medicaid, but it's not good enough for people that go to work to get health care, number one. Number two, I didn't say that it didn't cost anything. I said it didn't cost the state of Louisiana for the first 3 years. And then it's the best investment we could make.
But 7 years down the road, it's $230 million.
Because the state would put up 10 cents to get 90 cents back. If you were in business to put up 10 cents to get a dollar back, that's a great investment. We need to support working people for health care. And one more point, John. In these states where Medicaid has been expanded, the cost of insurance has gone down for everyone.
Okay, let me get the other two gentlemen here to weigh in on that, please. She's arguing that it's worth, even if you don't like Obamacare, you take the money because it's offered.
We'll post on our website, 60% of the people that join Medicaid in a Medicaid expansion drop their private insurance, which means now the taxpayer is responsible for it. Again, the Urban Institute estimates that would cost $600 million to our taxpayers. By the way, the only place we get that $600 million is either raising taxes or taking it from institutions like LSU or other institutions of higher education. If working for LSU as a teacher for 25 years means that Medicaid has paid my salary, then proudly as an LSU faculty member, of which I still am, I say, heck, that's always why you paid me what you paid me. Look at King Alexander, who's one of my bosses. So that said, there are better ways to do this, not expanding a broken system. Not expanding a broken system.
All right, we have to move on the final
point. Doing something better.
Colonel Manis.
You brought up Obamacare, and I've got to say, it's an abomination, and we need to pull it out by the roots. It's a job killer, too, in addition to trying to fix a system that's already broken, that's not going to work, as Congressman Cassidy just pointed out.
Address, if you would, why not take the money, as some Republican governors have, under the argument that, hey, it's a good investment, you get much more than
because
you put
in. Because the Louisiana taxpayer is the person that's going to be holding the bag, sir, and that's who we're responsible to when we're in elected office, and that's who our bosses are, and we owe it to them not to take their tax dollars without them wanting to.
Ask a university president if he wants his budget cut even more because more money is going to Medicaid. It is not a free ride, and that is the lie. That is what people are saying, which is not true. Urban Institute shows that is not the case. We need to be honest in this debate.
I've got to move on. Let's go to Doug Warner from KSLA.
Kind of keeping it in the medical arena and our global concerns with the Ebola virus.
Oh, yeah.
Just today, an American nurse who was quarantined against her will indicated she's not going to obey instructions to stay in her home. Just today, President Obama spoke from the White House surrounded by medical members who had just returned from West Africa, many still within their 21-day incubation period. Given that health experts say people are contagious only when showing symptoms, should Americans suspected of having Ebola be forced into quarantine? Congressman Cassidy, we'll begin with you.
Yeah. Again, the president has failed to keep us safe and secure. Ebola is a great example. We know how to control Ebola. There was an outbreak in 1976. The article is published in the New England Journal of Medicine. The way they controlled it is that they issued travel restrictions. They taught nationals how to treat the disease. And then they taught the people of the country how to avoid infection. They controlled the infection within a month. Now, let me put it this way. If somebody gets on a plane and she doesn't have symptoms, but it's a 36-hour flight, and she develops her symptoms halfway across the Atlantic, developing diarrhea, I can't help it, I'm a gastroenterologist, she potentially infects an entire plane. Now, I'm not making this up. This is how it works. Now, the president may surround himself with people who are asymptomatic, but the reality is one of them could be symptomatic the day they leave. They could go in a New York subway, as the doctor did in New York, and go bowling and potentially infect others. We need to restrict travel. We need to teach the nationals how to treat the disease. We need to teach infection control, but keep the disease in Africa. Do not allow it to come to the U.S.
Colonel Maness.
The disconnect between the CDC and what it thinks it knows and what is reality has really just become surreal, folks. Our lives are in the hands of an agency full of politicized academics and nutty professors. No more of this I'm a doctor and a scientist arrogance. We need some common sense applied in this situation. An Ebola, a doctor came from West Africa that had been infected with Ebola just last week and came home, went riding on the subway, went bowling, went out to dinner. What kind of arrogance is that? We've got to put a travel ban on the Western African nations that where these outbreaks have occurred. We've got to do screening at every port of entry. We've got to do quarantines where it's appropriate for folks that have been exposed to this dangerous and despicable disease. And we've got to protect our medical folks, our nurses and doctors, in the same way that we protect them at Emory University and other special isolation units. But most of all, the CDC has got to learn to admit when it doesn't know something so it can protect us from the unknown.
Thank you, sir. Your time has expired. Senator Landrieu.
Thank you. I do support a 21-day quarantine, and I know the president is hesitant and has said he will not, but I do believe that this is very fearful for many people in America. I think a 21-day quarantine is a minimum that we should do for doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals that are going to these three countries particularly and treating Ebola patients. Yes, it is an inconvenience, but I think it's necessary so that this disease does not start breaking out in America even more than it has. But number two, John, let me say this. My opponent, Congressman Cassidy, voted to cut CDC funding by $600 million. So you know, Bill, you can't have it both ways. You can't criticize the CDC and then cut the heck out of their budget, and then when they fail to stand up, criticize them as well. So that's his cuts-only approach, and it's wrong.
All right, your response.
Yeah, the Washington Post has made it clear, let's be honest, the Washington Post has made it clear that the idea that the CDC's budget has been cut to where they cannot respond is false. That is the Washington Post. The president's budget actually cut the CDC because they were going to make it up from the Affordable Care Act. So let's be honest with the American people. That's not true. You can read it in the Washington Post. It's a false narrative.
All right, the congressman got a little less time on one question, so if it's okay with everybody, I'm going to move on.
Okay? Go right
I'll
ahead.
Get the chance to rebut what you said.
I'll give you a chance.
Well,
sir.
Thank you very much. You know, these two folks that are in Washington here, they both voted for a continuing resolution not too long ago that gave this president the ability to deploy 4,000 Americans into these Ebola hot zones that are wearing military uniforms that are going to get infected. They need to start taking responsibility, both of them and all of their colleagues do, for what this president is doing and holding him in check to keep him from hurting the American people any more than he already has. Thank you.
All right. Let's move on then. Our next question is Clay Tufts from the LSU student body.
I'm part of the first generation of Americans who may not achieve the same standard of living as their parents. That's a very frightening concept. What is the role of government, if any, in ensuring economic prosperity for my generation and future generations? Colonel Maness, you're first.
I thought the congressman was going to go first.
Actually, it's Senator Landrieu first, but that's my bad. Please note that the first real gaffe of the night came from the moderator. Go ahead, please, Senator.
Okay. First of all, I think that's a legitimate concern, and that's one of the things I work hardest on in Washington, is trying to lift the economic power of our country. As chair of the Energy Committee, I'm in a particularly great position right now on behalf of the people of Louisiana to help create millions of high-paying jobs so that your generation can benefit. In addition, I'm excited to be here at LSU, where we have science, technology, engineering, and math for men, women, and minorities as well in the field of energy. But number two, I also think access to education is important. My opponent, Bill Cassidy, refuses to sign on to a bill that I have to lower interest rates on student loans, which are 21,000 average, 11% interest. He's refused to do that, and he won't sign on to my bill to double the opportunity for Pell Grants for poor students who are smart and want to work, but they come from families that simply can't afford the cost of education.
Congressman?
I can tell you, Clay, government doesn't create permanent jobs, and if it does, those jobs really don't want to have. The greatness of our American economy comes from the American people, not from government. But government gets in the way. Keystone XL pipeline, if the president would just allow it to be permitted, would create 40,000 better jobs with better benefits. By the way, Senator Landrieu speaks of her clout. She said her first priority as becoming chair of this Energy Committee was to get a Senate floor vote on Keystone XL pipeline. She's not been able to do so. She said she had done everything in her power. That just means she's not very powerful. But there's other things. The president's health care law is a damper on the economy. If you look at those in the lowest fifth of income earners, the Obamacare law has hammered them. In Lincoln Parish, for example, 400 custodial and food service workers had their hours reduced from full to part-time because they could not afford the Obamacare law. Get government out of the way, get creativity going, you're going to have a better job.
All right, Colonel Maness.
Well, the main thing Senator Landrieu has been able to accomplish on energy is to push through all of President Obama's anti-energy appointees, and we certainly in Louisiana don't need that kind of clout. What we need to do is pull Obamacare out by the roots because it's a job killer. I've been in all 64 parishes and talked to small business owners and employees of those businesses all over that through 85,000 miles on my pickup truck, and every one of them give you the same message. Sir, you've got to do away with Obamacare. We cannot afford the restrictions. We cannot afford the new fees. We cannot afford the taxes, and we're not creating the jobs we could, and we're cutting the jobs we had down to part-time jobs, and that's hurting the economic spectrum. That's exactly what Obamacare was supposed to help. And we need to unleash our energy sector in this state so we can lead America to energy independence. That's what we should be doing here in Louisiana, across the board. Drill, baby, drill.
All right, let me revisit this subject just a little bit on this issue of clout. If you're not aware at home, if you don't live in southwestern Louisiana, for example, the other day an $8 billion investment was announced, 1,500 permanent jobs at Sasol factory in the southwest. There is, however, a threat, it is thought, by some people in the southwestern part of the state, from Obama administration ozone rules that would threaten to damper down this explosion of growth. So what would you say, Senator, to those who argue that whether your chairmanship is a good idea or not, that the crowd you're hanging with, the Barbara Boxers and the others who are more pro-environment, together with an administration that can be anti-energy and anti-fossil fuels, isn't worth that. That their argument is we need to get, a Republican majority in there.
Well, John, you know, this isn't a social, it's a Senate, and it's about voting. And you can look at my record. I oppose the president's rules for air control. I support the Keystone Pipeline. I moved it out of my committee as quickly as I could after 6 years of stalling.
To which they would respond,
okay,
doesn't get a vote.
We are going to get a vote. We're going to continue to work on it. I've built support from three Democrats to 11. But more importantly, I've already passed a bill that opened up 8.5 million acres, the largest opening for drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. I've worked with three presidents. I've worked with four majority leaders. I've worked with six governors. I've been able to move an energy agenda forward regardless of who is there.
Right. And let me, to Congressman Cassidy, this question. You spoke to the Louisiana Chemical Association the other day, and you acknowledged that many of the people in the room, including Dan Borne, the head, on top of Boise Bollinger, the shipyard owner in the Bayou Country, are with your opponent. They must be with your opponent for some reason. They're not doing it just out of friendship, are they? There must be some jobs at hand.
Yeah, Dan Borne told me he knew her since as a little girl. It's kind of a personal relationship. This is not about a personal relationship, but it's about the future of our country. The only thing that threatens prosperity in Southwest Louisiana is the Obama appointees who can regulate it to death. Those appointees whom Senator Landrieu has voted for, every single one. She might be for Keystone XL Pipeline, I'm sure she is. Her first vote, though, as she said on MSNBC, will be for Harry Reid. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, will never allow a vote on Keystone XL Pipeline. And then he will appoint Barbara Boxer, the liberal from California, as head of the Environment and Public Works Committee to make sure that there is a stranglehold on those jobs.
All right, and then Colonel Maness.
I'm not out of time. I'm still going.
Well, it's actually open-ended, okay. But I'll let you finish with your
point. Senator Landrieu has clout, but she uses it for Barack Obama. She doesn't use it for us. I mean, my gosh, if you've had your insurance premiums go up 250%, that she and Barack Obama holding hands forcing Obamacare on you, even though we, the people of Louisiana, did not like it. Senator Landrieu has clout. She uses it for Barack Obama.
Right. Just to clarify, the follow-up questions are a little more open-ended on time, but that's fine. I want to make sure everybody
and
gets
I apologize
their shot. No, I want to make sure everybody gets their shot.
He was holding up the sign, so I thought I had more time, right. So I apologize.
Second gap by the moderator. All right, so Colonel Maness, you know, when they used to joke that Republicans in Louisiana could fit in a phone booth, Boise Bollinger's daddy was in a phone booth. He was one of them in there, yet he supports your opponent. Why do you suppose that is if it doesn't involve jobs?
Well, let me just start with HOMA. You mentioned HOMA, Louisiana. They have the lowest unemployment rate in the United States down in HOMA. That's the way the entire state of Louisiana ought to be. And Mary Landrieu's clout is being used for things like funneling money through her jazz pack that goes to political candidates that fight against the very oil and gas companies that should be being helped right here in the state of Louisiana. That's number one. And of course Boise Bollinger is going to love her because she appropriates things like six Coast Guard cutters when the Coast Guard only asked for two. That's billions of dollars into his pocket and a very small group of people. Well, those dollars should be being spread around the state of Louisiana through competition and free markets because that's what government is about, is setting the climate for businesses to succeed in the free market, in a well-regulated free market.
Right.
That's the way government should
be. Colonel, I have to respond. Now he has gone a little too far. Let me talk about the Coast Guard for a minute. The Coast Guard is one of the most popular federal agencies in the country. The Coast Guard showed up when our people were 14 feet underwater, Colonel. And I support the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard needs those boats. They need to interdict drugs coming in across our border. If you want to secure the border, you should support the Coast Guard. And let me be very clear. I am very proud that we're building Coast Guard boats here in Louisiana. And the more we can build, the more people we can employ, and the more we can support one of these federal agencies that really works, you can count on me. Obviously, you cannot count on the two of them, but you can count on me.
All right, I will let everybody have a quick final word. If
is
they
this
want
a closing statement? Or
No. We're about 10 minutes from that.
On this
subject, if you want.
Okay. To even imply that I don't support the United States Coast Guard or any other military members or their families is just absolutely silly and ridiculous. But I do believe that we're almost $18 trillion in debt in this country, and if the United States Coast Guard Commandant only asked to build two Coast Guard cutters, then that's the dollar amount that they should be appropriated for when the request comes to the U.S. Senate before the President signs it. Because we are at a crisis level in our debt, and the people of Louisiana deserve that so that they can have long-term, sustainable jobs that aren't tied to government contracts.
Thank you, Colonel. Congressman Cassidy.
Senator Landrieu's first vote will be for Harry Reid for Senate Majority Leader. Harry Reid has turned the Senate into a rubber stamp for Barack Obama approving his agenda. If you love Barack Obama's agenda, vote for Senator Landrieu. She's going to vote for Harry Reid. He's going to make sure the Senate enforces that.
Senator, we're at $17 trillion in debt. Should we be shoving Coast Guard cutters down their throats if that's what
we're
doing?
Well, first of all, neither one of them read the Coast Guard budget the way I do because I'm the chair of the committee. And the fact of the matter is the Coast Guard is desperate for these boats. The President of the United States undercut the Coast Guard budget, and I restored the money over the wishes of the President. Because sometimes I don't agree with the President, contrary to what these two say. Because I have tried to represent Louisiana's interest 100% of the time. So, Colonel, try to read the Coast Guard budget. Talk to the commander. They need to capitalize a fleet that's an average of 50 years old, and I intend to help them do it.
All right. I need to move on. The next question is from Amy Jeffries, and it's we'll direct this at Congressman Cassidy first.
Yeah, keeping with the economic opportunity theme for the moment, the median income for an African-American household in the United States is roughly 60% of the median for a white household. It's even worse in Louisiana. What do you think, first of all, is the cause of this disparity, and is it something that needs to be addressed now?
Yeah. So income inequality has increased under President Obama. If you own stock and properties, you've done really well. If you're in the lowest quintile, you've been hammered. We will post on our website a study we did that we published in Forbes, in which you can see that because of Obamacare, the lowest fifth of income earners have seen their salaries suffer. They've been laid off or their hours reduced from 40 to 30 hours a week because of Obamacare. The employers explicitly say it is because of Obamacare. Not just Louisiana. The Federal Reserve Banks of New York, Philadelphia, Atlanta all report this. By the way, it was known that this would happen. It was known that if you pass this mandate, employers were going to lay people off or lower their hours. When Senator Landrieu says that she would vote for Obamacare again tomorrow, I would oppose it again tomorrow, she's really saying that she doesn't care that in Lincoln Parish, they just took 400 lower paid workers and took them from full to part time. I care. I would repeal and replace Obamacare.
Colonel Maness.
Repeal, replace, and pull it out by the roots. It's un-American when you start to destroy jobs through a law that's supposed to help the very people whose jobs it's being destroyed. That's not the role of government, as we've talked about. The role of government is to create the environment so those jobs can be created. And that's what we do when we unleash our energy sector. That's what we do when we get out of the way of our commercial fishermen and let them do their jobs the way they know how to do it instead of letting some federal bureaucrat come in and dictate it. We create jobs. That's the answer to poverty. We have a poverty rate of near 20% here in this state, and that's only 50% less than what it was when we started the war on poverty back in the 1960s, and we've spent over $23 trillion on it. We're not doing the right thing. We're only doing the same thing over and over again. And unemployment for young black men in this state is 3 times the rate of unemployment for anybody else. The answer to poverty is to get businesses to be able to thrive and create jobs, not destroy them with laws like Obamacare.
Senator Landrieu.
Well, anyone here at LSU and any student of history would know that one of the answers to that question is racism over centuries, where the African-American community has been kept out, kept down, and kept back. That's part of what we all try to do, to bring that community forward, the Hispanic community, and others that have been left out. Women as a class sometimes couldn't even teach school if they were married. They could not get. My opponents don't even support equal pay for equal work for women. Not only do African Americans have a lower income, but their average net worth is only $5,000, their median net worth. For Hispanic families, it's only six. So we have a lot of work to do. Jobs, economic opportunity. Send me back to the Senate. Let me help create these energy jobs that can help lift a whole new generation in America and in Louisiana up to a greater standard of living.
I see Colonel Maness shaking his head down there.
Congressman, too.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Sure.
Under the Obama-Landrieu economy, there's been 78,000 more people in Louisiana who have gone on to food stamps than have gotten new jobs. That's because the Obama-Landrieu economy actually discourages the use of America's natural resources. One thing that can create prosperity for working families is energy jobs. Senator Landrieu may be for them personally, but when she votes for Senator Harry Reid and supports Barack Obama's appointees, those jobs will not occur the same as they would when you elect Bill Cassidy to be your Senate.
Colonel Maness.
It's unbelievable. Let's get the facts right. Of course, we support equal pay for women and everybody that enters the workforce. As a matter of fact, the facts are that Senator Landrieu's office staff is women are underpaid, less than men, and those are the facts that we pointed out in our first debate. So let's get to the facts and really understand what's wrong and what's going on with these jobs. The federal government is interfering with the state of Louisiana and destroying jobs in the economic spectrum that they're trying to help. And we need to turn that around. That's why I've sponsored acts like the REDEEM Act to help that unemployment rate and the incarceration rates in this state so that we can forgive minor nonviolent offenses and folks can start their adulthood.
And the final thought on this from Senator Landrieu.
Yes, the charge that he just made, he's made it every debate, and it's absolutely false. My first chief of staff was a female. My current chief of staff is the only African-American chief of staff in the Senate. He is looking at statistics and using them for his own purposes because he does not support enforcing the equal pay law on the books, which is what I am for. They also would vote against the Lilly Ledbetter law, which I voted for, and I was very proud to support that law so women can get an equal pension when they have been unjustly paid less through their career.
All right, we have about a minute before we get to a final round of questions where everybody would get it and then closing statements. So let me throw out some yes and no questions here real quick. Higher federal minimum wage, yes or no?
I support a higher minimum wage.
Congressman?
It kills 500,000 jobs. You don't want to kill 500,000 jobs. The answer is no.
A higher federal minimum wage is just another one-size-fits-all solution, and I believe the states and the people that vote the state leadership in should have the opportunity to experiment with a state minimum wage.
Marriage for same-sex couples could be a national issue if the Supreme Court hasn't decided by the time there is a nominee. So very quickly, marriage for same-sex couples, yes or no?
My personal views have evolved quite a bit. But I have said on record that I will support the state's constitutional ban against same-sex marriage.
Congressman?
I'm for traditional marriage.
And Colonel Maness?
I believe it's a state issue and it should be decided by the states, but I believe that marriage should be between one man and one woman.
Thank you. Our final question from Greg Merriweather.
We have a pretty good idea of where you guys stand on the issues. I'd like to take a minute just to ask each of you a personal question. What has been your greatest, your biggest setback in life, and what did you do to overcome that? Dr. Cassidy, we'll start with you.
Well, I have to think about that for just a little bit. Greg, at the risk of sounding trite, my gosh, my dad didn't go to college. We moved to Louisiana when I was 8 months old, and he was in his late 40s. My dad, struggling, we had moved 5 times in 10 years trying to gain traction. He gained traction, and my gosh, his son's running for U.S. Senate. We are living the American dream. Some might say I didn't come from royalty, I didn't come from this or that. I would say I came from two great parents. And although we struggled when I was a child, my family and we overcame, and I don't even think we overcame, in the sense that it wasn't, as you describe, an obstacle, it was just life. But through incredible love of family, incredible support from my parents, I'm living the American dream. And that's what I desire for everybody watching tonight, that you and your children live the American dream.
Colonel Maness.
It's a great question, Greg. You know, I put it in two categories. One is professional and one is personal. And the personal one, my greatest setback in life has been those times when I've had to give answers to my children or my wife that were the wrong answers at the time, and I came up short, and it hurt them, or those kinds of things. But we've always learned to trust God and overcome those challenges and continue to build our family stronger. Professionally, it's when I failed out of United States Air Force pilot training, and I wanted to be, as a five-year-old, a pilot of a supersonic large aircraft that could fly at the edge of space called the SR-71 because my dad worked on it. I failed out of pilot training, but I became a navigator instead and a weapons systems officer and flew a supersonic large aircraft called the B-1 Bomber. And I was honored to serve in the United States Air Force and lead America's finest young men and women in that aircraft.
And Senator Landrieu.
In my personal life, it would be when I was here at LSU and I wanted to be in the Christian advocacy world and was very active with Campus Crusade for Christ. And went to a Bible study and submitted my application and was rejected. It was a very hard rejection, but went on to do, hopefully, other good things in the service of God and our community. In my professional life, and this is recorded, I guess my biggest setback was when I flew over that levee that broke in the 17th Street Canal, and I had just been there the day before with President Bush with all sorts of fancy trucks, et cetera, and thought they were still there because I was gullible enough to maybe believe that the president was trying to do the right thing. And when I flew over that levee and there was nothing there but one little dump truck picking up a little bit of sand, I thought, oh my God, girl, you better grow up and figure out this really quickly because people are depending on you. And so that was my moment.
We're out of time. We do believe strongly that the candidates should have, each of them, the opportunity to talk to you without the filter of us. So 1 minute closing remarks from the candidates now. By random drawing, we begin with Senator Landrieu.
I again want to thank LSU and the moderators in this panel tonight. I've got great respect for the Colonel, but he will be one more voice for the Tea Party in Washington and one less for the voters of Louisiana. We saw Congressman Cassidy tonight. I'm glad that he showed up to talk about his very hurtful record for the state. I want to go back to Washington and represent the good people of this state, continue to work on an energy policy that builds jobs here at home and throughout America. We can be energy self-sufficient. We have 200 years of natural gas. Now is not the time to slow down. This is not the time to change leadership. This is the time to move forward to create economic opportunity. I've passed GOMESA, Gulf of Mexico Energy Security Act, the Restore Act, and worked across party lines, regardless of who has been president or majority leader. I ask for your vote. I thank you for tuning in tonight.
All right, and the order is slightly different here. By random drawing, Colonel Maness goes next.
Thank you, John, but I would like to say I believe that Ronald Reagan would have been a Tea Party member in this environment, and I'm proud to say that I'm a lifelong Ronald Reagan Republican. By the grace of God, we've created a nation centered on the sacred nature of human life, because that's where our ideas of liberty, equality, and human dignity came from. But as Colonel Nathan Jessup famously said, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be protected. We built physical walls to protect ourselves from worldly enemies. At home, we built walls of faith, custom, and law. People ask me why I'm running. I'm driven by my deep faith. I'm galvanized by God, who has taught me that while freedom is his gift, it's up to us to protect it. Our government is failing us in that, abandoning our walls abroad and trampling them at home. So here I am, volunteering to man the wall.
And we have to
Will
wrap
you
up.
Join me? I'm asking for your vote in order to bring about a government that's once again worthy of the American people, refocused
Thank you,
on
Colonel.
Preserving
I have
our
to wrap
gift
up.
To freedom.
Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you.
Congressman Cassidy.
In Louisiana tonight, there's a woman who will not be able to go to sleep. She's not sure she can pay her bills. In the last 6 years, the cost of gas, groceries, utilities has risen. Her wages have remained flat. She just got a health insurance premium that has risen by 20%. This is not despite what Senator Landrieu and Barack Obama have done. It is because of what they have done. We were told that Obamacare would decrease premiums by $2,500 per family. There would be no new taxes, and you could keep your doctor and your insurance plan if you wished. It was all false. When you go to vote, think of that woman. Are 6 more years of the same policy, is that what's going to bring her to a better life? If you think so, vote for Senator Landrieu. If you think not, well, if you want a senator who's going to stand up to Barack Obama, not vote with him 97% of the time, who passed flood insurance, the Grimm Cassidy amendment.
And unfortunately, we are out of time.
Who will repeal and replace Obamacare with something
right.
that works for you,
Congressman,
then vote Bill Cassidy.
Father Time says no. Thank you so much. Candidates, thank you for your participation. On behalf of Raycom Media, the Manship School of Mass Communications, and WRKF Radio, thank you so much for watching. Remember to vote, and good night.